Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to dive into this one.
Yeah, me too. So to start off, I want you to visualize something for a second. Imagine a submarine navigating through, like, murky, dark water.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
To understand its surroundings, the crew has to raise a periscope to the surface, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, imagine that almost every single cell in your body has its own microscopic periscope sticking out of it.
Right, which in biology we call a primary cilium.
Exactly. It acts as a sensory GPS, constantly reading the chemical environment around the cell and, you know, sending crucial intelligence back down into the depths of the cell.
Yeah, that is a really highly accurate way to look at it. Without that periscope, our cells are essentially flying blind. I mean, they're unable to respond to what is happening right next door.
Which leads us to a really compelling question for our deep dive today.
Right.
What actually happens when just one structural component at the base of this tiny cellular periscope goes missing?
Instinctively, you might assume that maybe that specific cell just stops working optimally, or perhaps you experience a highly localized problem in one tissue.
But the reality we're looking at today is a completely baffling medical mystery. We are talking about individuals suffering from a constellation of symptoms that seem entirely, almost absurdly disconnected from one another.
Oh, absolutely disconnected.
Right. Picture a teenager who starts experiencing progressive blindness.
Which is terrifying on its own.
It is. But then, alongside that vision loss, they develop extreme, completely unmanageable insulin resistance.
Two systems that, on the surface, just seem to have almost nothing to do with each other.
And it doesn't stop there. These individuals begin losing the fat from just under the skin on their arms and legs, making them look very thin and muscular. But at the exact same time, they're accumulating massive amounts of dangerous fat deep inside their bellies.
And deep inside their livers, too. Throw in sudden kidney failure and agonizing involuntary muscle cramps.
When you lay it out like that, it sounds like five totally distinct diseases happening to the same person simultaneously.
It really does.
How could a single molecular defect cause a multi-organ cascade of this magnitude? Today, we're going to explore how tracing these seemingly random symptoms back to a single cellular antenna could completely change the way we classify and treat complex metabolic diseases.
It really forces us to confront how interconnected our biology is. I mean, we can never afford to look at the body's systems in isolation.
So true. Today, we celebrate the work of Anikiti Volto van Silvoet and the International Consortium of Clinicians and Researchers, spearheaded by the Radboud University Medical Center, who have advanced our understanding of syndromic ciliopathies.
So to really grasp the clinical problem this team was facing, we have to look at a specific gene known as POC5. Historically, the medical community had a very, very narrow understanding of this gene. If you had a homozygous loss of function variant in POC5, meaning both copies of the gene you inherited from your parents were basically broken, it was believed to cause a single, highly isolated issue.
And that issue was retinitis pigmentosa, right?
Yes.
Just to clarify for listeners, that's a progressive kind of blindness. The light-sensing cells in the retina just slowly break down over time.
That is correct. And in the clinical world, doctors often refer to this broader category of vision loss as rod cone dystrophy.
Because it affects the rod and cone photoreceptor cells.
Exactly. So for years, you know, if a patient had a POC5 mutation, doctors just looked at the eyes and nowhere else. But this new research completely dismantles that isolated view.
Wow.
Yeah, it definitively pulls POC5 into a much broader, much more severe category of diseases known as ciliopathies.
Which brings us back to our periscopes.
Yes, exactly. Ciliopathies are systemic diseases caused by broken or malfunctioning cilia. And when these cellular antennas fail, the consequences are famously body-wide.
Right, there are some well-known ciliopathies out there, like Bardet-Biedl syndrome or Alström syndrome.
Yeah, and patients with those specific conditions typically present with kidney anomalies, blindness, and very severe widespread obesity.
Okay, let's unpack this. If we stick with our submarine analogy, imagine the human body is an entire naval fleet. Every single submarine needs its periscope to coordinate with the rest of the fleet.
Right.
So a ciliopathy means a critical component of the periscope design is flawed fleet-wide. Suddenly, navigation, weapon systems, and communications are all failing at the exact same time across different submarines.
That is a perfect way to visualize it.
It totally explains why so many different organs, like the eyes, the kidneys, the metabolism, would break down simultaneously. But the researchers realized the patients in this study didn't just have standard textbook ciliopathy symptoms. They had something totally unexpected.
They really did. And investigating that strangeness required a massive coordinated effort. I mean, the methodology here is incredibly robust. The team gathered genetic and clinical data from 12 different families spread all across the globe.
Finding 12 families with such an incredibly rare and specific presentation is no small feat in genetics.
No, it requires deep international collaboration. To figure out what was happening, the researchers utilized both exome and genome sequencing.
Right.
Exome sequencing looks strictly at the protein coding regions of the DNA, you know, the actual instruction manuals for building things.
Wow.
While genome sequencing looks at the entire DNA sequence, including the spaces in between.
And through this massive data sweep, they found 10 different loss-of-function variants in the POC5 gene across these families.
Exactly.
What kind of variants are we talking about here?
Well, the majority were what geneticists call nonsense or frame-shift mutations.
Okay, I always like to visualize a nonsense mutation as someone dropping a giant SFP sign right in the middle of a vital instruction manual. The cell's machinery starts reading the recipe to build the POC5 protein, hits that premature stop sign, and just gives up.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
And a frame shift is, like, deleting a single letter from a sentence, which forces all the subsequent letters to shift over one space. It turns the rest of the genetic paragraph into complete gibberish.
That is a perfect visualization. The blueprint is just totally wrecked. But in science, seeing a broken blueprint in the DNA code isn't enough. The researchers needed to prove that these genetic typos were actually destroying the physical POC5 protein in living cells.
So how did they do that?
They took a highly innovative step. They cultured skin fibroblasts, which are basic connective tissue cells, taken directly from the patient's skin biopsies.
Go.
Then they took some of these cultured cells and treated them with a chemical called cyclohexamide, or CHX.
Wait, why add a chemical to the cells? What are they trying to prove by doing that?
They were trying to catch the cell's internal cleanup crew in the act. You see, human cells have an incredibly sophisticated quality control mechanism called nonsense-mediated decay, or NMD.
Okay, NMD.
Think of NMD as a highly efficient cellular incinerator. When the cell copies DNA into a working RNA transcript, the NMD incinerator scans it. If it spots a premature stop sign, a nonsense mutation, it realizes the RNA is going to build a dangerous broken protein.
Right.
So it shreds that faulty RNA before it can ever be used.
Oh, wow. So under normal circumstances, if a researcher looked for the broken POC5 RNA, they wouldn't even find it.
Right.
The cell is frantically cleaning up its own mess behind the scenes.
Precisely. The evidence is just destroyed. But cyclohexamide acts as an off switch for that incinerator. By treating the cells with CHX, the researchers temporarily disabled the NMD process.
And what happened?
Almost immediately, they saw the levels of the broken POC5 RNA suddenly spike in the patient's cells. This definitively proved that the gene was active, but the cell was recognizing the catastrophic errors and actively destroying the faulty instructions.
That is such a clever molecular trick. But they didn't stop at the RNA level, did they? They wanted to physically look at the periscopes.
They did. They moved to cellular imaging using a technique called immunofluorescence,
which is essentially attaching glowing molecular tags to specific proteins so they light up under a microscope.
Yes. And their experiment was very precise. They used targeted glowing tags looking specifically for proteins called GT335 and acetylated alpha tubulin.
Okay, those just sound like random alphanumeric soups.
They do. But in cell biology, these proteins act like highly specific structural markers for the cilia. They are basically the materials that make up the shaft and the mounting brackets of our periscope. By tagging them, the researchers could literally measure the physical dimensions of the cilia to see if they were intact.
Wow. So we have this incredible methodology, but the clinical findings from those 12 families are what really stop you in your tracks.
They're completely unprecedented.
Out of the 12 families, 11 of the patients had that rod cone dystrophy. Their retinas were degrading, causing vision loss that generally began in their teenage years.
Which, you know, aligns with the historical understanding of POC5. But it is the metabolic data that rewrites the medical textbooks. 10 of the 12 patients had early onset diabetes.
Yeah.
And we need to be clear about the severity here. We aren't talking about mildly elevated blood sugar that can be managed with a simple diet change. We are talking about astronomical insulin resistance.
Yeah, the numbers in the paper are shocking. There was a patient in the study referred to as patient 3. Her fasting insulin levels were over 1,000 picomoles per liter.
It's hard to even wrap your head around that.
To put that in perspective for listeners, a normal, healthy upper limit is usually around 100. Her pancreas was just screaming at her body, flooding her system with insulin, desperately trying to force her cells to absorb glucose, and her cells were completely deaf to the signal.
And the reason her cells were deaf brings us to the physical presentation of these patients, which was, quite frankly, highly unusual.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Six of these patients showed signs of partial lipodystrophy. Now, lipodystrophy is a condition where the body experiences an abnormal loss and redistribution of fat tissue.
Right.
This is incredibly rare for a ciliopathy. If you look at those other syndromes we mentioned earlier, like Bardet-Biedl, the patients usually suffer from severe widespread obesity. But these POC5 patients presented with very skinny, highly muscular-looking arms and legs.
And that lean appearance in the limbs is deceptive. It happens because they completely lost their subcutaneous fat. That is the normal, healthy layer of fat that sits right under the skin and safely stores excess energy.
But the human body still has to store that energy somewhere. If the safe storage depots under the skin are closed, where does it go?
It goes into places that were never designed to hold it. The fat accumulates deep in the abdomen, around the internal organs, and very dangerously, inside the liver.
Oh.
Yeah, this is called ectopic fat storage, and it is highly toxic to the body's metabolic systems. When a liver becomes engorged with fat, it triggers widespread inflammation and causes the liver to stop responding to insulin.
Right.
That ectopic fat is the direct mechanical cause of the catastrophic insulin resistance we just talked about.
It's a complete architectural collapse of the body's energy management system. And because ophthalmologists are usually the ones diagnosing retinitis pigmentosa, a patient walking into an eye clinic with a slim, muscular build wouldn't necessarily trigger any alarm bells.
Exactly. An eye doctor isn't looking for a systemic metabolic disease in a lean patient.
What's fascinating here is how the clinical symptoms compound on each other. When your metabolic system is that strained, other tissues begin to suffer. 8 of the patients reported agonizing involuntary muscle cramps.
Yeah, they experienced severe muscle weakness, elevated muscle enzymes in their blood work indicating tissue damage, and debilitating pain that was highly resistant to standard pain management.
And then there is the kidney failure. 4 patients developed severe renal dysfunction. And when the researchers looked back through the family histories, they uncovered a tragic pattern. Several of these patients had siblings who had already died in their 30s and 60s from unexplained renal failure.
It's devastating. And while those deceased siblings couldn't be genetically tested to confirm they carried the exact same POC5 variants, the pattern strongly points to the severe systemic nature of this syndrome.
So the researchers had this massive clinical profile, but they needed to connect it back to the cellular level.
Right, they had to go back to the microscope.
When they finally looked at those cultured skin cells under the microscope using the glowing tags, the results were very revealing. At a microscopic level, the POC5 protein was entirely missing from the centrioles, which are the structural anchors sitting right at the base of the primary cilia.
The foundation was just gone.
Hold on. I'm trying to picture this. If POC5 is literally the foundation, the very base mounting of this cellular periscope, and these genetic mutations completely destroy it, shouldn't the periscope just fall apart? Or not even get built in the first place?
I mean, that is exactly what the researchers assumed they would see.
But they didn't.
Surprisingly, no. The researchers found that ciliogenesis, the cell's mechanical ability to construct the cilia shaft, was completely normal in these cultured skin cells.
You're kidding. Even without the foundational piece?
Even without it. Furthermore, they tested the primary signaling pathway that runs through these cilia, known as the sonic hedgehog pathway.
I will never get over the fact that one of the most critical developmental pathways in human biology is named after a video game character.
It is a funny quirk of genetic naming conventions.
Mm-hmm.
But the sonic hedgehog pathway is responsible for cell growth and tissue patterning, and when they tested it in these patient cells, it functioned perfectly well. Now, one patient, that same patient 3 with the astronomical insulin levels, did show mildly shorter cilia in the lab. But broadly speaking, the periscopes were physically there and seemed to be working in the skin cells.
So the antennas look fine in a petri dish, but the patients are experiencing multi-organ failure. That feels like a massive contradiction. How do we bridge that gap?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we have to look at how different tissues develop in the human body. This is the crucial conceptual leap of the paper. Think about adipogenesis, which is the highly complex biological process of creating new fat cells.
Okay.
We often think of fat as just inert blubber, but healthy fat tissue is actually a highly active endocrine organ. And during the creation of a new fat cell, primary cilia are transiently required.
Meaning they only appear for a brief window of time.
Exactly. They pop up, act as an essential temporary signaling hub that directs the immature cell to mature into a healthy fat-storing cell, and once the job is done, the cilia disappear.
Ah, I see. So, if POC5 is missing at the base of the antenna, maybe a basic skin cell can compensate and build a functional periscope anyway. But during the incredibly delicate high-stakes process of building complex fat tissue, that missing foundational piece causes the entire construction process to fail.
You hit the nail on the head. The lack of POC5 likely disrupts the delicate signaling required to generate healthy subcutaneous fat tissue.
Right.
Without healthy fat cells to safely store the energy we consume, the patient develops lipodystrophy. The fat overflows into the liver. The liver becomes toxic and inflamed, which drives massive insulin resistance, resulting in diabetes and eventually a severe metabolic cascade that ravages the kidneys and the muscles.
This raises an important question. What does this discovery actually mean for doctors sitting across from a patient tomorrow morning?
It means the standard of care has to change immediately. If a clinical geneticist or an eye doctor diagnoses a patient with vision loss and a genetic test reveals a biallelic POC5 variant, that medical professional cannot just prescribe visual aids and send them home.
Because it's systemic.
Exactly. That patient requires comprehensive, proactive, systemic care. They need yearly cardiovascular risk screenings. They need fibroscans to check for liver stiffness and fatty liver disease. They need their renal function monitored closely and their blood glucose tracked.
Because catching a metabolic crash before it destroys the kidneys could literally save their life. And there is an incredible real-world application of this detailed in the paper. Patient 10 had diabetes that was completely resistant to standard medications. Her doctors were throwing everything at it, and nothing was bringing her blood sugar down.
Which makes perfect sense, because they were treating standard type 2 diabetes, not a ciliopathy.
Right.
But once her medical term zoomed out, saw the whole picture, and recognized that her core issue was a lipodystrophy syndrome caused by failing fat cells, they entirely altered her treatment protocol. They prescribed a drug called recombinant human metreleptin.
Leptin is a hormone, right?
Yes. Leptin is a crucial hormone normally produced by healthy subcutaneous fat tissue. It tells the brain and the body how to regulate energy. Because patient 10 lacked healthy fat tissue, she was severely deficient in leptin. Metreleptin is simply a synthetic replacement for that missing hormone.
And once they replaced the hormone that her missing fat cells couldn't produce, her glucose regulation improved and her liver health stabilized. It is such a beautiful validation of why molecular diagnostics matter. You can't successfully treat the diabetes if you don't realize the root cause is a microscopic periscope failing to build fat cells properly.
It really is a triumph of personalized medicine. Of course, as with all groundbreaking research, the authors are careful to acknowledge the limitations of their study.
Right.
Because this is such a rare condition, a lot of this clinical data had to be gathered retrospectively from different specialists around the world. And as we discussed with the tragic family histories, several deceased siblings couldn't be genetically tested to confirm without a doubt that they had the exact same variants.
There is also the reality of the lab work. Those tests looking at the actual physical structure of the cilia were conducted on skin fibroblasts. The authors make a strong point that future research must look at how POC5 behaves in other specific cell types, like human kidney cells or actual adipocytes. The fat cells.
That is a vital next step. The function importance of these genes can be highly tissue specific. The skin cells might simply be more biologically resilient, effectively masking the catastrophic cellular damage that is happening simultaneously in the liver or the kidneys.
That makes a lot of sense.
Interestingly, we also know from animal models that biology doesn't always translate perfectly from one species to another. For instance, scientists previously created a POCO5 knockout mouse model, meaning they completely removed the gene in mice. The mice did show reproductive and endocrine issues, but they actually lacked an overt retinal phenotype.
Meaning the mice didn't go blind the way the human patients do.
Correct. The human retina relies on POC5 in a way the mouse retina simply does not.
It really highlights how incredibly complex and uniquely specific human genomics can be. We can learn a lot from animal models, but at the end of the day, a mouse is not a human.
Very true.
So what does this all mean? If we distill this massive investigation down to its core, biallelic loss of function variants in the POC5 gene do not just cause isolated progressive blindness, they cause a severe body-wide multi-organ ciliopathy. Crucially, this single discovery fundamentally expands the medical definition of ciliopathies to include adipose tissue dysfunction and lipodystrophy. We are literally rewriting the biological textbooks on the cascading damage a broken cellular antenna can inflict on the human body.
Which leaves us with a fascinating and somewhat daunting thought to ponder. What does this mean for how we classify and treat other unexplained metabolic disorders? If a microscopic defect in a single cellular antenna can completely redistribute a person's body fat, trigger diabetes, and crash the endocrine system, how many other idiopathic or unexplained diseases out there are actually hiding at the base of the primary cilium?
This episode was based on an open access article under the CCBY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
Watch the signs in time, man.